Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How would you, in more of a reflective way, look at and look back at what your team's been able to accomplish? I know it's more than half, but this first portion of the season before the bye.
Boy, that's a loaded question. We could go on and on about different things. You know, there was a lot of, I'm sure, questions about our team coming into this season. A lot of turnover, as has already been mentioned and documented through the course of the early part of the season in particular. And I just think that, you know, we were able to do a good job, adding some personnel, and then coaches developing some of the young players who were, you know, onboarded early here. And, we've kind of weathered the storm with some injuries, getting through some of that kind of chapter of the book to this point as well. And so it's kind of been all hands on deck, you know, team working as a team, and everyone doing their part, really.
What do you attribute to the ability to, at every position on this team, seemingly go 1, 2, 3 deep on the depth chart, and for the most part, the level of play has maintained as it would with some of the starters?
Yeah, I would say it's never just one area. Like, it's never just coaching, it's never just personnel. It's really everything, and including, you know, personnel, coaching, the players themselves, you know, wanting to get better, wanting to learn, wanting to put more time in. It's leadership from the players in the locker room, of leading by example of, hey, we've got an injury, no one panics. Hey, put the time in. You're going to put the time in. You know, there's some accountability, I would say, across the locker room that way, which is important. Developing the players, these young guys and new guys, onboarding them the right way with our development staff downstairs, our training room, our weight room. I mean, it's never just one area, but it's definitely shared across the organization.
One thing I think we forgot to ask, we saw that Josh Allen's hand was examined, right hand was examined during the game. How did that hold up?
Yeah, pretty good. I think we're going to get him a new one over the bye week here. As far as I know, I have not heard any concern about it from Nate, our trainer, to this point, John. Hopefully it remains that way. So that's all I know right now.
I hear that. What's the team, you know, getting healthier and getting out of the bye week, and looks like you're going to have a lot of guys returning. What does that do? How does that shape things up for the stretch run, in knowing you're getting some valuable bodies back while also knowing you've had some youngsters gain some valuable playing experience?
Yeah, I'll start with the experience part. That's been huge, right? You're getting a lot of guys, first year, second year players, a lot of valuable reps, and they're pushing through. And let's not forget some of these rookies haven't played this long without a break, right? So the length of this, the run up to the bye has been long, but I'm sure these guys are looking forward to getting some rest and kind of unplugging a little bit. But that experience that those players have gotten has been huge for us. We'll see in terms of who's healthy coming back off the bye. This week, the players that have been rehabbing are going to stay here and rehab and try and get themselves back to where they're an option for us next week. We'll see where that goes. Don't really have any definitives at this point from Nate. But if and when they do come back, I think the important thing is that we continue to find our rhythm, right? Sometimes when you add a new piece back that hasn't played in some time, it can kind of get you out of, out of rhythm a little bit. I think I mentioned that right after the trade earlier in the year here. So to this point, our team has done a phenomenal job of kind of working through that.
Lastly, and it addresses, I know you how much you called it not a statement, and there's a long way to go still in the season. But how do you react when you hear or we hear, you know, Amari Cooper talk about the joy that that win brought out from him, saying it's something he's not experienced in a long time, just to be in a game like that and to come out with a win?
Well, Amari has been a great addition to our team. You know, he's kind of a quieter guy, so it's great to hear, you know, him just express his gratitude, his emotions, right, of being able to be a part of a win like that. And it's a win, and it's an important win, right? It's in the AFC and against a really good football team. I think that really speaks more to me about our culture and the environment that we have here in Buffalo than anything.
In that first half decision to challenge the catch there, can you take me through the process a little bit? Because honestly, when I first saw it on the replay, it looked like it was super close. Then, of course, you get some of the clear replays, and I know you don't have the benefit of time always, but when that happens in a game and you don't get a challenge like that, how do you go back with everybody on your staff and evaluate the process for getting that right next time?
Yeah, we've already discussed that. You guys know we've got John Perry, a great, great former referee on our staff. He's been a big help. And, you know, we looked at it as quickly as we could, and we weren't getting a lot of great angles on it, I would say. They were not showing it on television. All we had was what was going on our video board in the stadium there. So it was a backed up situation, and I think it was a second and long that led to a third and short. So, and in the first half, didn't think it was, you know, a big, if we didn't get it right, didn't think it was going to have a big impact on the game. So, based on the data we had at the time, we challenged it. I challenged it, and obviously it didn't work out. So we connected on that this morning, and hey, would we have done it again based on the information we had? And so, you know, it's all always just continue to grow and continue to learn. And again, that's a timing issue there a little bit based on the views that we had.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And then I know you probably want to temper any expectations for Matt Milano as he kind of ramps back up. But if you're looking at the big picture here from your seat, what are the possibilities of adding him in late in the season, knowing that he hasn't really played in the game in over a year?
No, that's, you know, something that we've discussed. We would want to do it if and when we're given the green light, or he's given the green light, go about it the right way. So that's kind of a little bit what I was alluding to, adding a player back in. This is awesome, man. I feel like I'm right at home with you here. Great. Are those holiday decorations, by the way? Already up. I love it. That's great. Yeah. So we'll just...
My wife took the weekend all Sunday while I was down at the stadium, and she got the house decked out pretty good.
I see that. I love the backdrop. It's great. Now, so Matt, I'll just be quick. We just have to be smart with Matt, and then making sure that, like, as I mentioned before, we stay in rhythm here.
So going into the bye week, you guys have, I think you're 7-0 since you become the head coach coming out of the bye. Obviously, all those situations are different, but what is something that you and your staff do you think have been able to do to make you guys so successful after that week?
Oh boy, you know, if we knew exactly what it's been, Nick, I would say, hey, we'll just make sure we do that and then go on from there. So I think it's a combination of things. I think a little bit of it is rest. I think a little bit of it is, you know, having a chance to do some self-scouting and evaluation of what we do and how we do things, and fundamentals as well. I think the other part is, you know, making sure, you know, we put together a good game plan for when the players return as well. So it's probably not just one thing, but a multitude of things, really.
You've had a late bye the last couple of years, and it seems like it came at the right time last year, and again this year with the amount of injuries you guys have. Is there a preference for you as a coach on when you get the bye?
Preferably after a win. so I don't have to sit here and think about a loss for a better part of 2 weeks. That's always one of my prayers. But no, it seems every year to come just at the right time. You know, you're always pushing and kind of earlier in the year, you're like, man, it sure would be nice to have a bye. We're kind of, you know, banged up, whatever it is, or we're not, you know, whatever it is, you're just kind of trying to get into your rhythm. And I think at this point, it's been a long run up for us here. And we've had a lot of kind of different primetime games and different game times and whatnot. So, you know, it always seems to come at the right time if you're able to push through.
What are your expectations of players on a bye week? Obviously, it's a week to rest and reset, but at the same point, you've got some important business, you know, in a week.
No, we do. Great question. You know, what we talk about is making sure their habits match our goals, right, as a team, and certainly their goals as an individual to be the best version of themselves when they come back. You know, we're getting into the back third of the season, if you will, and as you mentioned, it's an important time for us here.
And then just from yesterday, you guys did a really good job of keeping Mahomes in the pocket. You know, how much was that the rush discipline? How much was that your coverage downfield that you were able to kind of, you know, keep him and make him think a little bit?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I thought the defensive line did a really good job early in the game. And then we had some third and longs doing the same thing. And then later in the game, as you saw, you know, he was trying to get out of the pocket. We had the spy on him a little bit there too sometimes. And, you know, that worked. I thought well at times and maybe not so well at other times. So just something that we'll have to continue to evaluate as we move forward here.
I was just wondering during the offseason, for yourself as a head coach, saying how can you improve your coaching abilities as well as your overall team? I see one was with the referee, bringing in a referee on staff to help out with those challenges and things of that nature. And also, it seems like you're a lot more aggressive this year than I've ever seen you before with the team. Seems like you guys don't hesitate to go for it on fourth and short or whatever it seems to be at the, if the timing's right. Was that some of the goals that you set for yourself this year?
No, not necessarily. I think I don't know the data exactly and what the analytics would say on my history or my resume as an aggressive head coach, but I think I've been towards the top, really. So I think just sometimes when we get the results that everyone looks for, everyone wants to, you know, kind of hover over that. But I think if you look at my track record, I think we've been pretty aggressive. Every situation is a little bit different, but that's kind of my nature is to be aggressive.
Yeah, it seems like you're not calling timeouts to think about it and think you guys are just going right into it. Whatever the play is called, boom, you're going up to the line. And seems like everybody's all in, and they, you know, you just run the play. You know, you run that play, and you know, either you make it or you don't. It doesn't seem any type of hesitation this season.
Well, I don't think we've hesitated too much in the past. There are some decisions if you have a timeout to burn that you'll use it just to make sure you got the right play, make sure everyone's organized and ready to execute. So every situation is a little bit different.
All right, last question for you: How would you rate the two guys, Kane and Vandermark, that replaced Spencer Brown, and also the replacement for Deion Dawkins toward the end of the game as well?
Yeah, Richard Garage there. So both those guys, what more could you ask for? You know, they came in ready to play, prepared all week. You know, and Richard goes in the fourth quarter. And, you know, so he's worked hard for the year and a half he's been with us roughly. And I don't know that there's guys that work as hard. I mean, we have a ton of guys that work hard. Don't get me wrong, but those two are towards the top for sure.
Yes, I've seen those guys around for the past 2 years. Yeah. They, even after practice, I see them out there working on their footwork and things, especially last season. They were working at St. John Fisher a lot on their footwork.
That's right. That's right, George. Yeah, footwork and all the technique that goes with playing online.
With respect to the way you answered the question to John about how there's a whole bunch of different factors that go into a successful start, how much of it this year is guys internally improving? Because it seems like there's a number of players, both sides of the ball, and not even first or second year players that have taken notable steps forward that have been a part of this 9-2 start.
Yeah, it's been huge that it really has. And I mean, you could probably go across the roster, right, and point out a multitude of players who have improved their game last year, this year, within the course of this season as well. So just been extremely impressed by that.
risking forcing you to toot your own horn here. How much of that success is because of the long-term culture that you've built up and the ability to have a similar message year after year? Does it make it easier then to find that extra 1-5% to make these guys a little bit better year to year?
I think what goes with the continuity that you mentioned is really, you know, everyone knowing what's expected, and that consistency around our building from the coaches, myself, to the personnel department and Brandon and training room, weight room, development staff, just all of us being on the same page with, hey, this is what's expected. This is what we believe in and how it needs to go. Doesn't mean we don't change and we're not flexible. It just means that I think we're all in sync with kind of that that one single approach to doing things.
And real quick, one of the players I wanted to point out specifically, Osiris Torrence, had a number of reps against Chris Jones yesterday. Seemed like he performed real well. How impressed were you with the way he, you know, held up in a pretty tough environment and a tough assignment?
No, you're right. That was huge. You know, Chris Jones is, I don't know, probably the Josh Allen of defensive linemen out there. I mean, he seems to, whenever he wants to make one of those superhuman plays, he makes them. And he tried to make a couple last night, made his fair share of plays. Don't get me wrong. Our guys battled, and each and every one of them, I mean, up front, he was lining up, you know, against people up, all the way up and down the offensive line. I thought those guys battled and did a good job.
I know Matt Milano was already asked about a little bit here. What about Dwayne Carter? You know, I saw him out on the field pregame a little bit. You know, obviously he wasn't dressed to play at all. But how's his rehab coming along? And is he somebody that you're hoping in the not-too-distant future that you can have back in the lineup?
He is, Josh. You know, again, well, there's this pool of players that they're kind of tiered as to when we expect to get each one of them back. Again, this week, you know, being at kind of a rehab week for the players that are banged up, the message I'm getting from our training room is, hey, we'll let you know kind of how this week goes and then what that looks like for next week. So, you know, the challenge is not really knowing as we start to game plan a little bit towards the end of this week, who's available, but certainly understand that the trainers need some more time with these guys. And, you know, again, it's kind of like, hey, who are they going to hand us on Monday? Are we going to get one player, two players, more, less, what have you? So we just got to kind of take it one day at a time here.
Big picture coming out of the game. Any serious injuries? I know Taylor Rapp was dealing with a foot there. He said he was fine. He obviously came back in the game. Any significant injuries there that you're concerned with going into the bye?
Right. Nate updated us kind of midday, and no new additions, I would say, to the injury list at this point.
Okay. Last one for me. I don't know if you saw the video. Coach Cowher was out with the Bills Mafia pregame and decided it was a good idea to jump through a table. any thoughts about Coach Cowher jumping through tables at Highmark Stadium?
I love it. I had a chance to catch up with Coach the night before the game, and you know, I think the world of him. What a great coach, what a great man. I think we think similarly in a lot of areas, quite honestly. And for a coach to go out there and do that, I mean, that's kind of his element, right? This is what makes Buffalo so special. People come here and they fall in love with this place, right? And Coach Cowher, all those guys that were on the show yesterday, I think they got a great taste of who we are and what we're all about here in Buffalo.
I want to talk about the luxury and the development of Dorian Wilms, and how does that play into how you monitor Matt Milano's return?
Yeah, so Dorian's a young player that, you know, he's learning, right, through the course of, you know, Matt's injuries here last year in this season, and he works extremely hard. He was wearing a couple different hats for us, playing a couple different positions last night in the game, and, you know, he continues to grow, and he's a good football player that as he gets more and more experience, he'll continue to develop.
Absolutely, Coach. And I know you love watching film, you know, this morning and seeing both sides of the ball in those trenches, you know, go out there and perform. Could you talk about how your guys battled in the trenches on both sides?
Yeah, I thought, you know, that's where really the game is won or lost, you know, that. And, you know, they won some. I thought we won some. So it was a good matchup inside on both sides of the ball. You know, at the end of the day, I thought we rushed the passer well when we had him in some of those drop back one dimensional situations. And I thought our offense really, our offensive line in particular, did a really good job with all the different blitz schemes and blitz looks they give.
Absolutely, Coach. And man, you are basically flawless coming off the bye week, but you know, it's a bye week, man, you know, so you got any particular plans to enjoy this bye week this year?
Just try and get some rest, spend a little time with the family. And I think that's about it. You know, just kick back, unplug a little bit.